Hello and welcome to the ABCs of Rock podcast. I am your host, Nathan Schuer. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Weston Media Podcast Network. I thank you for joining me on my journey through the alphabet from A to Z, where each week I pick a new band or musician going in alphabetical order, no exception. It's not only been a blast, it's also been an education, and I'm having the time of my life. Before I begin, I must say a couple very important words about this podcast. I do not own the rights to any of the music played on this podcast. The musicians or the music labels own the copyright. I play this music under the doctrine of fair use. I'm not here as a DJ, but to offer music commentary and criticism. My goal is for you to gain a larger appreciation for the bands or the musicians played here on this podcast. And I ask for you to go out and legally purchase or stream their music. The musicians need your support, and I hope this show contributes to spreading the good word about the bands you hear on these episodes. I do not profit in any way from this podcast. It is truly done out of my pure love of the music. And welcome to part two of our season one wrap-up extravaganza. I certainly hope you enjoyed part one, and if you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen to that episode, because we are going to be following up, which will cover the bands that we covered from season one, which are the letters N through Z. I'm looking over the music queued up for this show, and honestly, it's just as great as the last episode. And with me again is returning champion, back for our final show of the season, my favorite co-host, my daughter Chloe. Welcome back, Chloe.
Hi, I'm so excited and super sad about that I'm back, and the thing that I'm sad is that this is the last podcast.
Yeah, and well, back up for one moment. It's not the last podcast. It's the last podcast
of the season.
Of season one. I don't want everyone to like all of a sudden be like, you know, crying their eyes out because this is the last. This is not the end anymore, everyone.
No,
it's not the end. It's just the end of the season. We're celebrating all the music that we featured on season one. Going through the alphabet from A to Z, we're going to do it all over again. We're going to start over with the letter A and go through letter Z again with all new bands and musicians. It's really exciting with the opportunity to pick new music. When we start that, I don't know. I'm definitely going to take a little bit of time off. It's been a very exhausting year doing this, and I will be maybe restructuring the show a little bit, maybe kind of tinkering around with the format a little. I don't know, but I will be back, and Chloe will be back, and we were going to tackle the alphabet all over again.
Yeah.
So today on part two of the season one wrap-up extravaganza, we'll be playing 13 songs. Yeah, that's a lot. Typically, in a regular show, I'm playing 10 songs, and the normal format is I pick a band that I play 10 songs that I feel is either underrated, underappreciated, or basically ones that I love that nobody else seems to like. Basically, it's my way of reintroducing music to a general audience that they typically won't hear on traditional radio or oftentimes even satellite radio. And I do my best to inject some thoughts and observations into each song. That's how it usually goes. But today, when we've already highlighted all these bands on previous shows, and especially when we have so much music to plow through, Chloe and I are just going to breeze through these great songs and offer some general thoughts on them without getting too deep into the intricacies of the music. So let's get the show on the road. All right, Chloe?
Yep, that sounds like a good idea.
All right. So representing the letter N is the New York Dolls. And the song I'm picking is off their second album. Too Much Too Soon was released on May 10th, 1974. The song is Chatterbox. A song that was written by and with lead vocals performed by the great Johnny Thunders. I love the song. And I said it on the New York Dolls episode countless times, the twin guitar attack of Sylvain and Thunders, there's just nothing else like it. It's just an explosion of energy. Let's get to the lyrics. And if you're new to the show, I pick up my favorite part of the lyrics, and I love to hand the honors off.
If you're new to the show, you wouldn't be listening to this show.
Well, this could be their first episode. You never know. So what I've been doing in recent episodes is I've been handing off the honors to Chloe, who has been doing a great job doing the lyrics. So there's a lot of innuendo with the song, so I'm going to hope that it all goes over my 9-year-old's head. So take it away, Chloe.
Okay. I said chatterbox. I said yay, squick, squick, squick. What is it?
Squawk.
Squilk. Squilk. Okay, I'll say that. I'll do that again. I said chatterbox. I said, yeah, squilk.
Squawk.
Squawk. Squawk. Okay. Squawk. Okay. I said chatterbox. I said, yeah, squilk.
Apparently you can't say squawk.
Squat.
Squawk.
Squawk. Squawk? Is that it?
Squawk.
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 Squawk. How about we both do it?
Okay. I said chatterbox.
I said yeah, squawk.
A lot. Come on. Give me some lips. Yeah, chatterbox.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, we're back. That was Chatterbox by the New York Dolls, song I really love. Chloe, did you love it as much as I did?
Hey. Guess what I rated it?
A 10.
Guess what I rated it?
A 10?
Guess what I rated it?
Why are you screaming at me?
Sorry. Can you please guess what I rated it?
I'd say an 8.5.
Unfortunately, you are incorrect. I gave it a 7.
7, okay.
And 3/4.
Okay. Why did you do that? Why was it not the greatest song of all time in your book?
Because it definitely wasn't.
Okay.
But I wasn't a big fan.
You gave it good enough to be a 7 out of 10. I mean, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But I gave Metallica a 3. Remember.
All right. Up next, representing the letter O, is The Offspring. And something I found a little interesting and a factoid I never would have expected.
A factoid?
Yes, a factoid.
What's a factoid?
Just a little piece of trivia. Of all the episodes I've recorded, the Offspring episode, according to my analytics, is the most popular, most downloaded episode of the season. It's weird, right? Who would have guessed? My love for the Offspring goes back to when they reached it really big with their Smash album back in probably around 1994, 1995, that era. And I've been a fan ever since. When I did that Offspring show last year, it gave me a chance to listen to some of their albums I probably hadn't listened to very much over the past decade, and especially their 2008 album, Rise and Fall, Rage and Grace, and the 2012 album, Days Go By, which at the time I had kind of dismissed, but upon revisiting, found many great songs off those that I now really like. And they got a new album about to be released in less than a month. So yeah, new Offspring just around the corner, which means there could be a new release spotlight episode for that coming soon. So maybe even though the show might be on a little bit of a break, I might just have to do a new release spotlight anyways.
Ooh, yeah. That sounds cool.
Yeah. Yay. The song I'm picking for this show comes off their album Conspiracy of One, which was released on November 14th of 2000, and it's titled Living in Chaos.
Living in Chaos. I am living in chaos.
No, you're not. Oh, with your sister. Finding safe lyrics in an Offspring song isn't that easy, but this song is relatively PG. So let's go with the first verse. Chloe, you want to do this?
Somewhere the time was right, could have been gone in 10. This world is hard to fight, hitting you once, hit it again. The Offspring.
Thank you. back, that was The Offspring with Living in Chaos. Another song I really, really like. And I kind of wish I could have played that on the Offspring episode I did before, but I still love it. Anyways, Chloe, what did you think of that one?
Yes.
Obviously a 10. Okay, yes. Seriously, I'm going to say an 8.5.
No.
I don't know.
7.5.
7.5. All right. Any thoughts on the song?
It was very rock and roll, so that's why I gave it the 7.
So it needs to be less rock and roll?
I'm saying that, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. All right. Well, at least we're exposing you to this. All right. On to the letter P, and possibly my favorite musician and artist of all time. Maybe a tie with David Bowie.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Yes, the great Tom Petty. When I did this original episode, I just had to break up his career to cover his 70s and 80s output, because there would have been no way I could have picked 10 songs from his entire catalog. And I'm one of those people that feels his later material is equally as strong and in some cases possibly better than his early stuff. I know, some blasphemy is happening here. Going to stay in the early part of his career and pick something great off the self-titled Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, which was released on November 9th, 1976. The song is titled Anything That's Rock and Roll. And as the title suggests, this song is just pure rock and roll. The chorus embodies the spirit of the song and the spirit of this podcast. So I gotta go with that. Chloe, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, take it away.
So come on, baby, let's go. Don't you hear the rock and roll? Playing on the radio sounds so right. Girl, you better grab hold. Everybody got to know. Anything that's rock and roll is fine.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and anything that's rock and roll. Chloe, tell me you gave that a 10.
Guess.
Okay, a real guess?
Yeah.
8.5.
I gave it an 8.
An 8. All right. That was the highest rating so far. All right. Why'd you give it an 8?
I just liked, I don't know. I just liked it.
Well, I'm glad that at least Tom Petty has the highest rating of any song so far. And yeah, he is definitely one of my favorite all-time musicians.
The next one is not going to be my favorite.
We'll see.
I already know what it is.
So going from possibly my all-time favorite musician and band to my current favorite band of the last 20 years. It's kind of weird.
The Stone Age. And he's wearing the shirt.
So yes, as Chloe just spoiled, representing the letter Q is Queens of the Stone Age. So what I always remember from that episode is, Chloe, how you fell asleep during the recording of it. And I know we started that episode probably way too late at night. I'm a terrible parent.
Some of the
songs I think you liked from that show.
I liked it, but it was late. I think it was like 11 o'clock.
It was pretty late. We started it probably around 9:45 and...
I want to point something out. That's not very important, but Dad, you're wearing the Queens of the Stone Age shirt.
I have my Queens of the Stone Age shirt on right now, so I think it's appropriate. I love this band so much. I could easily do two or three more episodes just on this band, maybe even more than that. The song I'm picking, though, is off what I think is one of the more underrated albums, Ara Vulgaris, which came out on June 12th, 2007. I saw them when they were touring on this record, and it was an amazing show. What I think is great about this album is that it's one of those that every time I listen to it, I seem to discover something new, even after dozens of times listening to it. For instance, this song I'm going to play titled Into the Hollow. It originally was not one of my favorite songs, but over the past 14 years or so, it's risen up the ranks to one of my all-time favorite Queen songs. I love the chorus on the song. It's mostly how the music and the vocals just build up during this part. Gives me chills. Chloe, you ready?
Don't you want to go into the hollow? I won't go alone. Aren't you going to follow? It definitely rhymes.
Thank you. Love that song. Chloe, did you love it as much as I did?
Probably not.
Don't break my heart. Don't break my heart.
What did you think that I rated?
A 10.
Okay. What did I rate?
8.5.
No.
Okay, probably not. A 7.
No.
I don't know. Tell me.
7.75.
What's this 3/4 stuff?
A 7.75.
3/4. Okay. All right. What did you think of the song though?
I thought it was good. It was good.
All right.
I can't go deep into the detail. Like the man singing.
You like the man singing? All right.
No, I don't know.
All right. We won't get too deep. All right. That's fine. All right. Let's move on. Moving on to the letter R and to the prog rock pioneers, the Holy Trinity, the greatest band ever to come from Canada.
No.
No? You're going to challenge me on this?
No, the greatest thing that's ever came from Canada is zombies.
Zombies came from Canada?
Yeah.
Oh,
they filmed it in Canada.
All right. Well, I guess I'm wrong. The band that I'm talking about, of course, is Rush. And when I did that episode last year, once again, I stuck with the early stage of their career, highlighting my favorite deep cuts from their 70s output, the best period of their career, in my opinion. Going back to the well one more time from their great 2112 record from 1976, titled A Passage to Bangkok. This song has one of the greatest guitar riffs from Alec Lifeson's career. This is practically a near-perfect song. Everything from the guitar riff and an amazing guitar solo. One thing I've always had a weird mixed feeling towards is the, I guess I have to call it the oriental riff in the song, which nowadays for some could be considered a little cringeworthy. I do have to recommend checking out their version off their live Exit Stage Left album, which may actually be better. I swear I'm going to catch some hell for exposing you to this song, Chloe, but I'm relatively sure the subject matter will blow right over your head. So, Chloe, you ready to do the lyrics?
Yeah.
All right. Take it away.
We're on the train to Bangkok, aboard the Thailand Express. We hit the stops along the way. We only stop for the best. That does not rhyme at all.
It's okay. Let's just play this song.
You make it right.
Chloe, a passage to Bangkok. Was that right up your alley?
I guess it was.
So, absolute 10?
No.
Out of 10?
No.
No?
No. What do you think I rated?
8.5.
But I gave it a 7.
A 7. Okay. All right. We shall move on.
Yes, we shall.
Representing the letter S is Skid Row. And right on cue is DCS knocking on my door. Don't worry, we're going to go with something relatively tame from them. Back when I did the Skid Row episode last year, it was kind of an eye-opening experience for me because I really hadn't listened to much after their first three albums. Definitely nothing after Sebastian Bach had left the band. So it was a true education on what they had been up to since the Subhuman Race album, I'd say. I thought it was, for the most part, hit and miss. One aspect of their career I didn't get a chance to dive into was their releases from the past decade, the United World Rebellion Project, which they've released in two parts. Both are sort of extended EP formats, and they've been teasing a part three for a while now. We'll see if that ever comes into fruition. I've taken the time to digest this music now, and it's on par with their output over the last 20 years, maybe a little better than their last few albums, so a minor recommendation for diehard Skid Row fans. Going to play my favorite track from this project, specifically off their first of the two albums, which came out on April 16th, 2013. This song is titled Let's Go. It's a great adrenaline-infused rocker that is perfect for your workout playlist.
It perfectly rhymes. Skid Row, Let's Go.
It does. I did that on purpose.
I thought so.
Take it away with the lyrics, Chloe.
I put my heavy foot down to the floor, living on the line and wanting more. I'm one with my machine, bleeding gasoline. Kick the tires, light the fires, let's go. It totally rhymes.
Yes, and is your adrenaline pumping now?
No.
Flashes on my brain. Adrenaline is
All right. Now, you must have just been bouncing off the walls for that one, Chloe, right?
No,
that
I wasn't.
That definitely
no.
infuses
no.
you with power and
no.
energy.
No.
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 I'm guessing that
no.
was not your favorite
no.
song.
It was not.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not my favorite song either, and I wanted to
what
actually pick...
What is your favorite song of all time?
I don't know. That's impossible.
All time.
I don't know. I don't know. That's impossible. There's too much music out there. What I was going to say, though, that, you know, this is not my favorite album either. I wanted to pick something because I hadn't picked anything from these two albums when I did the Skid Row episode back in the day. So, but I really thought this song was pretty good, you know, compared to some of the other stuff from their later career. So I thought it was a good selection from this album. Anyway, so what did you give this? I'm gonna guess. I'm not gonna say 10. I'm not gonna say 8. I'm getting no more than a 7, but maybe not even that. Maybe a 6.
I gave it a 7.
A 7. All right, everything's a 7 or better. Well, then let's move on.
Do you want me to rate it a 6?
Give it whatever your heart desires.
Don't you want me to rate it a 10?
Of course I do. Everything here is...
I think I know one.
You've never given anything a 10, I don't think.
Yes, I have.
You have? All right.
I think so, one time.
I don't know. I have to go back to the old episodes
and
listen.
I'm not saying, but I know that I have.
Up next is another band that you joined me with on this podcast, Chloe, the Talking Heads.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So I'm going to play a song which broke my heart that I didn't play on that show because... it's one of my all-time favorite songs of theirs, and I'm ecstatic that I finally get the chance to play it on this episode and for all of you. From their album Naked, released on March 15th, 1988, let's listen to Totally Nude.
And may I say that their photo for this one is a monkey naked?
Well, monkeys are naturally naked. They're animals.
I know, but it's... very.
Would it be better if the monkey had some clothes on?
Yes.
Oh, well, my endorsement for this song is no matter how deep a funk you're in, you put this song on and your spirits are exponentially lifted. So add it to your playlist, listen to it, digest it, and you'll be a happier person every day.
I don't think that they would digest
it. When you do the lyrics.
All right. I guess you wonder where you are, nature boy, nature man, nature woman. Take me along. I just said that. Okay. I'm going to stop.
You improvised, I know. It's okay.
I'm just going to say, I guess you wonder where you are, nature boy, nature man, nature woman, nature girl. Take me along. We got a life that's undiscovered.
Gonna stop me, I'm absolutely free, living in
talking heads and totally nude. What'd you think, Chloe?
I liked it. What did you think I rated it?
I have a feeling that's your favorite song so far tonight.
So
am I right? You gave it a 9.
No. I gave it a 8 3/4.
Okay. That's good. That's definitely, I was right about it being your favorite song so far.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. It's very a tropical song. Hawaii.
Hawaiian-y, yes.
If I played that with a nice, if they should have played that with a ukulele, that would have been perfect. All right.
So before I move on, I just want to take a brief moment since we're about halfway through the episode. And thank you once again for tuning into the show and say how much I appreciate, or both of us appreciate, each and every one of you being a loyal listener or a subscriber to the podcast. There is an episode for every letter in the alphabet, practically something for everyone, no matter what your taste in rock is. Mm-hmm. So head on over to the archives, and I'm sure you'll find at least a couple episodes you'll love. Also, if you've been listening to these episodes, I'd love to hear from you. There is an email that I check frequently, abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can find me on social media, on Facebook at abcofrockpodcast and on Twitter at abcrockpodcast. This show is available on dozens of podcast apps, so please, if you love the show, subscribe and give it a rating and review on whatever app you prefer. Those ratings and reviews actually play a large role with the algorithms that help raise the profile of the show and make it more discoverable for a larger audience. I thank you all in advance. All right, representing the letter U, of course, is you too. Now, like I said on the earlier episode, I did come to become a fan of them in the early 90s when Octoon Baby went supernova.
Octoon Baby.
And rode the wave ever since. I'll admit, I do feel there were diminishing returns as the 90s progressed. But at the same time, I'm thankful they did what they did. I love the fact that they experimented with their sound and didn't keep putting out the same album over and over again. After their reinvention in the early 90s with Octoon Baby and a gigantic... You won't stop laughing. That's something funny, Chloe. Octoon Baby.
Octoon Baby. Octoon Baby.
Their gigantic world tour, didn't take them long to put out their follow-up album, Zooropa, which came out on...
I thought that was Zootopia.
Zootopia. That's a very different thing. Good movie, but very different thing.
Yeah, I was looking in the paper and I thought it was Zootopia. okay, anyway.
And that came out on July 5th of 1993. I know. Anything significant about that day, Chloe?
It's my birthday.
Yeah. You were not on this earth yet.
Yes. But it was a day where a bunch of years later...
Do you think that the band was planning this out in
advance?
No.
Not at all.
So I purchased this album on its release day.
Wow.
What a significant day.
Wow.
And
on my birthday.
Your pre-birthday, I guess.
You're the best daddy.
And I have felt deeply connected to every song on this
because
one
because you
ever
bought
since.
It on my birthday.
It must have been that, yes. Some songs that were my favorites I've grown a little more tired of, and some that weren't are now top of my list. However, this one has always been near the top. It's Daddy's Gonna Pay for Your Crashed Car.
I hope so. He's my daddy, so if I crash my car, I hope that's true.
I hope you never crash your car, actually.
I hope you pay for my car if I ever crash it. Or Scarlett will probably crash it. Or Scarlett crash it.
Again, I don't want anybody to crash their car.
Maybe you.
And if you really think about the subject matter of this song, it's really a pretty... The theme of it is pretty dark as well. This is actually the first song I ever heard off the album because my local rock station at the time, WBRU, rest in peace, rock radio, had this song in rotation before the album was even released. So it must have been a promotional single or just a really cool program director or a DJ, I guess. Chloe, you ready to do the lyrics?
Yes.
All right, take it away.
You've got a head full of traffic. You're a siren song. You cry for mama and dad is right along. He gives you the keys to a flaming car. Daddy's with you wherever you are.
Cry for mama. Daddy's right along.
All right. Welcome back. Chloe, did you love Daddy's Gonna Pay for your crashed car as much as I did?
Probably not.
Breaking my heart again.
What would you give that song?
Oh, everything is a 10.
Okay, then no, we have different tastes. So, Dad, what do you think?
You gave it 8.5.
I gave it a 7.5.
Okay.
Actually, a 7.
So 7.
I will like a 7 and a 7.5.
Which one? Like 7 and. And a quarter then?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. On to the next letter. And in a year that we lost one of the greatest musicians ever to have walked this earth, how could I not pick Van Halen to represent the letter V last year? The outpouring of love for Eddie Van Halen was overwhelming. And as a podcaster, I was paralyzed. Yes, Chloe.
So what I think is saying is that she died?
Well, Eddie was a man, number one. And yes, he died.
Wait, Van Halen died? She was a girl.
No, his name was Eddie.
Oh, okay. He died?
Yeah, he died. Yeah, it was really sad. He was one of the greatest guitarists of all time. Maybe the greatest guitarist of all time. I mean, a lot of people listening will probably say that. And I'm not going to argue with that. So I did what I felt very few were doing. I paid tribute by playing my top 10 Van Halen songs from the post-David Lee Roth era. So everything starting...
Oh, remember my question.
Okay, what?
When did she die? Like, what year?
Eddie was a man. You keep saying she.
When did she die?
It's not a she.
When did he die?
He died, I think it was October 6th. I think it was October 6th.
In what year?
Last year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor man.
I know.
I feel so bad for her.
Him.
He. Him. 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 How old was she? He!
I think he was 65.
Wow, that's young.
Yeah.
That's young. Let's go back.
Okay. So I paid tribute by playing my top 10 Van Halen songs from the post-David Lee Roth era. So everything starting with 5150 through their A Different Kind of Truth album, which I can't believe came out now 9 years ago. Wow.
Wow. Before I was born.
Actually, well, it was the same. You know, it actually came out in 2012, so it was the year after you were born.
Okay.
Yep. It was the first time I think I ever caught some real hate on social media for my taste. Van Halen, yeah, I know, for that last episode. Van Halen fans are cutthroat, I tell ya. Well, I do love the Roth era the most, but I simply wanted to be different and highlight an era that, during all the tributes happening, was just not getting the same love. I mean, really think about it. Radio stations were playing, you know, all the
people. That person just died.
I know. Radio stations are playing all the early Roth era music back in October, but nothing from Van Hagar, at least what I was hearing. And say what you want about that era. The songs may not have been the same, but you can't deny that Eddie's guitar work was the problem. Anyways, let's get back on track. Going to try to right a wrong on the show by picking a song from the early days. This one is off their sophomore album, Van Halen 2, from 1979, titled Bottoms Up. Great song here. You can hear them laughing and cracking up in parts of the song. They were just having the time of their lives back then. And I also want to pick one that has an awesome Eddie guitar solo.
Yeah. In memory of him.
Yep. Chloe, why don't you do the lyrics?
I've been sitting here about half the night. Oh, mama, fill my cup up. Said I came here to waste some time. I think I'm going to jump up. I don't think this rhymes. We'll be right back.
Bottoms Up. That was Van Halen. Great song. Chloe, you had to rock out to that one, right? That was amazing, right?
It was okay. Okay.
What made it just okay and not like bombastically amazing?
Did you think it was bombastically amazing?
You have to ask, of course. Bombastic actually would be a perfect adjective for it.
I think it was good. I didn't really like how much rock there was in it.
I did launch a podcast called The ABCs of Rock.
I know you did. I know you did. And I was expecting rock, but it was good. What did you think I rated it?
Okay, so I'm not going to say a 10. You gave it 8.5.
No.
You gave it an 8.
No.
I don't know.
A 7.5.
Okay, 7.5. Pretty par for the course. Representing the letter W are the White Stripes, and a song that barely missed out on my top 10 underrated songs podcast a couple months ago. That song is I'm Finding It Harder to Be a Gentleman, is off their 2001 release, White Blood Cells, which was their big breakthrough album that sported this hit, Fell in Love with a Girl. Yeah, you know that song. We all know that song. It was everywhere back then.
I do not know this song.
You don't know that song. I guess you don't. The rest of the world probably does. It instantly propelled them into superstardom and firmly pegged them as a garage rock revivalist band. It's a term that I think has become a dirty stigma. The White Stripes, of course, are so much more than that. Their incorporation of blues rock, alt rock, indie rock, folk rock, and country rock expanded them way beyond the confines of being just a garage rock revivalist band. And I think this song is a prime example of that. The lyrics that I'm going to pull from are from The Bridge, which I love from this song. So, Chloe, take it away.
Okay. I have no idea what a bridge is, but I'm going to guess that's some sort of music thing. Okay. I play the ukulele and the xylophone.
We need to do more of these. We absolutely have to do more of these.
I only play the ukulele and the xylophone. That's it.
Okay.
All right, anyway. Maybe it's whatever is in my hand that's distracting me. But it could find a motion to stimulate devation. Wait, what is that?
I am just loving watching you struggle. Okay. Do you want me to do it?
No, wait, what are those words? Maybe it's whatever is in my hand that's distracting me. But if I could find a motion to stimulate devotion, well, then you'd see.
Well, I'm finding it harder to be a gentleman every day. All the manners that I've been taught have slowly died away. We'll be right back. wonderful. So baby, why don't you feel the same? Have a doctor come and visit us and tell us which one is safe.
So that was the White Stripes with I'm Finding It Hard to Be a Gentleman. Great song. Chloe, did you find it great?
It was good.
Not great, though.
It was almost close to being great.
Almost great. All right. Well, okay. I'm curious what rating you gave it. Clearly, you should have given it a 10. But since you're not giving anything a 10, I'm going to say you gave it an 8.
Close. I gave it an 8.
That's what I just said.
I know. I know. I'm trying to trick you.
All right.
And I did. I completed my mission.
All right. Finally got one right. Of course, there is no skipping the letter X when a band like XTC exists. I may just have to make XTC a mainstay for the letter X episode for every season. They have enough music to last me many episodes, actually. Their fourth studio album titled Black Sea, which came out on September 12, 1980, I feel is the pinnacle and creative peak of their early career. And of all the bands featured on this podcast, possibly the most underrated of them all.
Wow.
So talented and grossly underappreciated, especially here in the States.
People, why do you do this to him?
Why? I know. My one request is for all you listeners out there, if you're not that familiar with XTC, two things.
Check
out my XTC episode number 42. It's a great way to get up to speed with their early career of music and also pick up one of their compilations at the minimum as a starting point.
Excuse me?
Yes.
So I have two things to say. I guess I will watch the episode, but I cannot buy things on my own.
That's okay. You can listen to this podcast.
I know, but...
And I have...
You're saying that I should buy a record, and I can't do that. You
Chloe,
have to buy a record.
I own all their albums. Okay. Black Sea is a great place to start as well. And one of the songs I'm playing now is from that album. It's titled Paper and Irons, Notes and Coins. MVP of this song is no doubt Terry Chambers on the drums. So Chloe, let's do the lyrics.
Working for paper and for iron. Work for the right to keep my tie on. Working for paper and for iron, work for the unicorn and the lion. I like that fourth line.
We'll be right back.
XTC with Paper and Iron, Notes and Coins. Love that song. Chloe, did you love it too?
I thought it was good.
Okay.
What did you think I rated it?
You must have given it a 10, because it's worthy of a 10.
Okay, what do you think I rated?
You gave it 8.5.
No, 7.5.
7.5. All right, sure. All right. Shifting gears drastically as we land on the letter Y, in representing will be none other than Weird Al Yankovic. The album Polka Party, which was the fourth in his career, was a critical and commercial disappointment. Even I, who really love most of his music, I struggle to find much to love on this album, but there are a few brilliant nuggets. The first was one that I played a few episodes back titled Dog Eat Dog. Do go check that out. It's a perfect tribute to the Talking Heads, and I really love this song. And the other song I really love is Christmas at Ground Zero. Now, for years, Al would play the song in regularity at his shows. Then 9/11 happened. And the phrase Ground Zero took on a whole new meaning, and the song, as you can guess, fell out of favor, and he stopped playing it for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter that the song predates the events of 9/11 by 15 years, although it does poke fun at the end of the world, which I suppose Al felt like was in poor taste after those events. Anyways.
I have a question.
Yes.
What is Weird Al Yankovic's real name?
Al. Alfred?
Oh. Alfred Yankovic?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway.
I'm not usually into Christmas music, but this one is the type that is right up my alley, and I think that it can now once again be appreciated for its brilliance and humor. Chloe, are you ready for this? You like Christmas music, right?
Yes.
You do. Mm-hmm. Why don't you do the lyrics?
All right. Because it's Christmas at Ground Zero, there's panic in the crowd. We can dodge debris while we trim the tree underneath the mushroom cloud.
It's time to face your final destiny. It's Christmas at Ground Zero. There's panic in the crowd. We can dodge debris while we trim the tree underneath the mushroom cloud. Or Jack Frost on your windowsill. But if someone's climbing down your chimney, you better load your gun and shoot to kill. Oh, it's Christmas at Ground Zero, and if the radiation level's okay, I'll go out with you and see all the new mutations on New Year's Day. Christmas at Ground Zero. Now the missile.
right. Chloe, are you in the Christmas spirit now?
Yes. I'm sorry that I'm laughing randomly. Another song came up.
All right.
Anyway, okay, yes. I thought it was very good, but what do you think I rated it, Father?
Gave it 8.5.
Not true. I gave it a 9.
You gave it a 9?
A 9.
Wow.
A 9. But I thought that it was... I also rated it... you may know that if you watch the Weird Al Yankovic, I rated it how I liked it, and also how weird I thought it was. So I gave it a 7 of how weird it is. So yeah.
That's right. When we did the Weird Al episode, you ranked the weirdness of each song.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, guess what?
We've made it
to the letter Z. Can you believe it?
No, I can't believe it.
Can't believe it.
I can't believe it.
I know, this is the last one. The last song ever. Well, not ever. The last song of the season.
Oh, my God. I'm so sad. I'm practically going cheers.
Are you going to cry?
Yes, I'm crying.
Okay. And the artist representing the letter Z is
Warren Zevon.
It was only a couple weeks ago that my Warren Zevon episode was released. Definitely go check that one out. I don't really have much more to say about Warren Zevon that I didn't already say out, you know, on that show, other than that he's another highly underappreciated artist, and I'm extremely thankful that I took the time to go through his discography and reacclimate myself with his music. The song I'm selecting is off of his Sentimental Hygiene album, a really great one from his mid-career, released on August 29th, 1987. One of his more high-energy songs, and actually the entire album is full of toe-tapping rockers. So let's listen to Even a Dog Can Shake Hands as our final song of our Season 1 Wrap-Up Extravaganza.
And I think dogs can shake hands. I think it's possible.
It is. And since we're at the end of the show and the season, let's end on the outro of the song. Let's do this one together. You ready?
I'm trying to survive
up on Mulholland Drive. And I get it any way I can. And everybody's trying to be a friend of mine. Even a dog can shake hands.
Oh, I'm so sad at this. That was the last one that will not ever break from the season do.
Mulholland Drive. He's got the phone in the car in his hand. Everybody's trying to be a friend of mine. Even the dog can shake hands. He wants 20% because he knew you back when. Now they all want a piece of the band. Everybody's trying to be a friend of mine. Even a dog can shake hands. All the worms and the gnomes are having lunch at Le Dome. They're all living off the fat of the land. Everybody's trying to be a friend of mine. Even a dog can shake hands. Someday. Hey!
for the fans. Everybody's trying to be a friend of mine, even a dog can shake hands. Woo, woo, yeah. Side page 42, we'll do the rest for you. Find a way to make it pay. Don't lose your head, end up dead. You'll be living in the valley someday.
All right, that was Warren Zevon with Even a Dog Can Shake Hands. Chloe, what did you think?
I thought that it was very good. What did you think I did?
A 10.
What do you think I did?
8.5.
Close. I gave it an 8.
An 8. All right, that's good. It's one of the better ones for you. All right, and you know what? That concludes our big two-part season one extravaganza.
No! Yeah. All right, I'm getting ready.
That's the end of it. And so, first of all, before we're going to wrap things up here methodically here, Chloe, first of all, any final thoughts on this episode?
I thought that was very good. There was a lot of songs where there was just too much rock for me. So that's why I voted it a low number of 7 or 8.
All right. Did you have a favorite song from today?
I did. Let me check my list. All right. I got it. My favorite one was Weird Al Yankovic 9.
Weird Al Yankovic?
Yes.
And that was Christmas at Ground Zero. Uh-huh.
Yes. And all right.
Didn't you have another song that was a 9? I thought. I thought you did.
No.
No? Okay.
But if the time has probably come.
But hold on, I'm not done yet. I also want to know, were there any artists and musicians you are most likely to listen to again on your own from today? From the last two episodes, actually.
Oh, wait. I see what y'all doing there. You're trying to get a sneak peek of what's my favorite one?
No, I don't. I'm just curious. Anything that you heard for the first time, like you have your favorite six. You listen to. You were on 6 episodes before, but any of the new artists that you were exposed to over the last 2 episodes, any of those that you think that you might return to on your own?
I'm gonna say 2 things.
Mm-hmm.
My first thing is that I will not be listening to Metallica ever again.
Ever again.
To answer your question, this was on the last episode, the part one, if you're saying in part one or part two, probably, what was it? Number A, one.
Oh, Adam Ant?
Yes, Adam Ant. I liked that one a lot. I think that one was probably my favorite one. On the other one, I think
okay.
I remember.
I think you actually like a lot of Adam Ant music if I played it for you. There's so much more that I think would be up your alley, actually.
Yeah, so I think that's probably one that.
All right, yeah. That's fine. So I need to get to the big question here. So, favorite band you were a guest host on?
So, I first want Dad to guess.
I have to guess it was Weird Al Yankovic.
Yes, you are right. Sorry. Yes, you are right. That was my favorite of the season. And I have actually been listening. I think it was 5 or 6 songs that I listened to on my phone. I think it was Yes.
Well, here we are at the end. And so we finally answered what your favorite band was that that you guessed it on. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, what's really cool also, we won't try to delay this too long. This is also going to be released exactly on 1 week to the, basically a week from the premiere of the first episode when this podcast was launched, which is really fitting. It took us 1 year to get to this point.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really funny because originally I was at a blistering pace. I was putting out an episode every single week, and it just became became impossible for me to do it, to create these. And I started doing them every other week, which was a lot more reasonable for me. It's just my life got too busy. So that's really cool that it took us a year to get through it. And, you know, and I've thought about the future of the ABCs of Rock, and I am outlining ideas for season two. But here's what is important. I can be influenced, and I really, really am asking you guys out there to write me through email, social media. I would love to hear from you guys and let me know what you think of this first season. If you have suggestions on different formats for the show, I am all ears. I am humble enough to take your criticism. I don't mind at all. I am. I'm serious. You know, I do not consider myself an expert podcaster. I'm still learning. I've done about 52 episodes, if you include everything. I mean, that's a lot, but it really is not a lot when you consider all the podcasts out there. And, you know, some others are like in the 500, 600, 700 episodes. So I'm a newbie when you really compare myself to them. So, you know, and also when we get to bands that I could cover for season two, you know, send me your suggestions. I'm all ears. So anyways, Chloe, this is it. Any final words you want to say?
Okay, so I have probably written this speech out on a piece of paper and trying to memorize it for the last 3 days. I think I remember. So it is just an honor to be on this podcast. My dad didn't have to do this at all. He could have, like, didn't care. He didn't have to do with me, and I'm so happy that he actually decided that he would do it to me, because everybody in the world can hear me, and it's crazy to think that anybody in the world,
anybody could hear you, but really it's like 8 people. Well, maybe it's more than that.
But
I have the data to prove that there's more than that, but yes.
Anybody could hear me in the entire world. And it's crazy because I'm talking in a voice that I usually talk in when I'm like, I'm normal. And
when is that?
Like right now, how my voice is right now. Do you hear me right now?
Yes.
If you don't, then you're deaf. This is the voice that I usually do, like, at school and everywhere that I'm responsible about. And when I look at all these episodes, I have this voice. Yeah, I'm super happy to be back. It's weird. It's, the world can hear my voice of what I... It's myself. That's my real voice. And I'm using my voice that... Right now, I'm using my voice that I'm making myself use this voice. And my real voice, you can hear it, actually. And it sounds like a voice that I'm not using. I think that's a magic gift that I'm trying to make it so you guys can hear the voice that makes me sound responsible. And some way... The world instead wants to hear my true voice, and I think that's a gift.
Well, that's really sweet. Wonderful. Okay, all right. Well, I think we should wrap it up. So I hope you've all enjoyed this wild ride through the entire alphabet.
And I'm crying right now. Honestly, I'm crying.
You can send your feedback or hate mail to abcarockpodcast@gmail.com. thank you so much for taking this journey with us this season. And please don't hesitate to reach out to me on social media, on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast, or on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. I love getting feedback and messages letting me know what you think of the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here as your host and entertainer,
and
both
co-host.
Of us, and co-host over the past couple hours, probably. We realize that there are literally tens of thousands of podcasts out there that you could be listening to. And we sincerely thank you for spending your time with us on this show. It means the world to us. The ABCs of Rock is part of the Weston Media Podcast Network. Thank you again, and have a great week, everyone.
Goodbye. I'll miss you.
Summer.